set the background. We're going to talk about Laodicea, the church in Laodicea. The city of Laodicea was about 100 miles east of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, where you get the book to the Ephesians. It's about 100 miles from Ephesus. It's the last city to which the seven letters to the churches in Revelation were written. It's a tri-city area closely associated with the cities of Hierapolis and Colossus, which we have the book to the Colossians. Laodicea was noted throughout the Roman province of Asia for its wealth, its commercial life, and its medical practice. It was a banking center of Asia, and it was the most prosperous of the seven cities in the book of Revelation. I want you to understand the background when Jesus gives these words to the church. It was a wealthy city, very prosperous, many beautiful homes built in the city. It had special medicine from the land that they used for salve for the eyes that they exported all around the world. They had a black sheep that gave them this really expensive wool, and they made clothing out of it. It was like, Laodicea was like Macy's, Bank of America, all rolled up into one. It was a prosperous place. And God had a word for the church in Laodicea. Let us listen for what the Spirit has to say. We'll pick up on Revelation 3, 14 to 22. And don't miss the very first verse, 14. This is where we stopped last week. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen. These are the words of so let it be. These are the words of truth. These are the words of yes, thank you, Lord. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He's wrapping up, in my opinion, he's wrapping up the Apostles' Creed, the one who created the whole universe. 15. Now you understand the background of Laodicea, very wealthy, had made money and industries out of their medicine, out of their wool. So verse 15, I know your deeds. You are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, and let me tell you that they got their water 6 miles away through a viaduct, through hot springs in a town called Hierapolis, and they transported the water 6 miles, and by the time it got to Laodicea, the water was lukewarm. So he says, so because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, and they were wealthy. They had built expensive homes. They were wealthy. And I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They had clothed themselves with this beautiful wool from their black sheep. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. See, they were selling their own salve. And he says, no, I'll give you something that will give you eyesight. Verse 19, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. And verse 20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him or her, and they with me. Those who overcome, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. Verse 22, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Don't miss the very beginning, and we talked about this last week. In all seven letters, if you were to go read the first three chapters of Revelation, of all the seven letters to the seven churches, Jesus is introduced with a different name. But to the church in Laodicea, he's introduced as the Amen, the truth, the faithful one. He's absolutely true, he's absolutely faithful, and as we conclude our series on the Apostles' Creed, what do you believe to be truth in this world? The opening description is important because he says that they're neither hot nor cold. And he's challenging them that they've lost their love and they've become lukewarm. So what I'd like to do this morning is talk about Jesus' patience, Jesus' plea, and Jesus' presence. William Holman Hunt painted a picture. And I think it's going to be up here, in 1851. And many people, this picture has been kind of reproduced and modernized, and it's not a real great picture. It's as big as I could blow it up without disfiguring the picture. I wish I had, you know, a picture of it. And when William Holman Hunt painted this picture in 1851, it's titled The Light of the World. But it's really the passage of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them and they with me. I'll be with them and they with me. Now, I want you to know when this picture was painted, and you're probably not going to be able to pick up all the details, so I'm going to encourage you, you can Google it. But I'm going to pick out some points for you when he painted this picture. He's holding a lantern, which signifies when Jesus says one of the great I ams. He says, I am the light of the world. So he stands with a lantern to display the light. But you see, we can't see it, but he's standing at a door that's overgrown with weeds. And the garden is not really taken care of. In fact, there's fruit trees in the background, and you can see some of the fruit that has fallen to the ground. And the writer, the painter, said it was to depict the fall of Adam and Eve, and there's an apple in the picture. But the door, as many of you know, has no handle on the outside. And if we were really to look at it, the hinges are rusted and the pins are gone from the hinges. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The patience of Jesus. Now, many people believe that the door is to our hearts. And I think that's a great illustration. Jesus stands at the door of our heart and knocks. Can I come in? And I think it is a personal invitation. But put it in the context of Revelation 3:20. He's knocking on the door of the church. He's standing outside the door of a church, to the church in Laodicea. And he says, and the church is kind of worn down, kind of fallen apart. the weeds are growing up over the door and the hinges are broken. And he says, I wish that you were either hot or cold. I wish the door was open. The patience of Christ. So I put this here, and I have it. Do you see the great love that God has as Jesus patiently stands at the door and knocks and keeps knocking? He doesn't stop knocking. Sometimes the knock comes through hardships and difficulties, sickness or death, financial loss or family problem. But whatever the case, Jesus stands patiently knocking at the door of your heart and the door of a church in that context. So don't miss the patience of the great amen. He will always... He can't open the door. He's a gentleman. He waits for the door to be opened. He waits for you to open that door. The patience of Jesus is, there's no word, it's inconceivable, incomparable. It's amazing that he stands and waits for us. Waits for you and me. And those knocks will come in our lives. Most of the time, we open the door for Jesus when we're in trouble. Ruthie was saying she's reading Psalm 40, and we cry out. I waited patiently for the Lord, and I cried out to him, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the slimy pit and the mud and the mire. When we cry out, we open the door. And Jesus waits, and he knocks. I'm here. Don't miss the patience of Jesus, the faithful amen. Yes, Lord, thank you. So let it be. Let's talk about not just the patience of the Lord. Let's talk about the plea. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice. This is a plea. The patience, he's knocking. The plea is, hello, I'm here. Open the door. He's not shouting. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to open the door. All of the letters to the seven churches end with this statement. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If anyone has ears, gave us two ears and one mouth, right? Listen twice as much as we speak. He says, anyone who has ears, let them hear. Sometimes we need to be quiet so we can hear what the Spirit is saying. The word in Greek is akouo, the word acoustics from it. The word in Hebrew is shama, and it means to hear, but it also means to obey. You know, if we hear his voice or hear the... We should obey and open the door. He says, whoever will open the door, I'll come in and be with you. I don't know if you in Matthew 25, and it's also recorded in 13, Matthew 25 and Luke 13, there's a powerful scene when Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. And I'm going to read the passage in Matthew 25, 37. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you stone the prophets and kill everybody God sends to you. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, but you would not listen. the patience and the plea. Anyone who hears, listen to what the Spirit is saying. Christ wants us, I have a little thing up there, I think. Christ wants us to act upon his knocking. He wants us to open the door, to invite him in, to say, come in, Lord. Come in. Enter my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Deliver me from my sins and myself. Take up residence here and take up residence here. That's what he's waiting for. And last, he says, I will come into you and eat with you. And I think it's, I titled it, The Place of Christ or The Presence of Christ. And if we open the door, he says, I'll enter in and remain with you and we'll eat with you together and be together. And I mentioned it last week when we had communion. But in the Jewish culture, they ate really just bread and they dipped it for breakfast. And lunch, they didn't eat a lot. But for dinner, their dinner was a meal, a sit-down meal, and they sat down and they broke bread together and they fellowshiped together. When I traveled in Europe, I was amazed that dinner lasted 3 hours. I don't know if you've been out of this country, but you sat down and they served you a course and you talked and ate, and they served you a course and you talk and eat, and they'd serve you a course and they'd talk and eat. And finally I'm going, when are we going to get dessert? But 3 hours later, we might get dessert. But they were fellowshipping around the table 3 hours at dinner time. And that's the image. Jesus says, if you just open the door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to have communion with you. I'm going to sit down with you and we're going to talk and we're going to laugh together and we're going to cry together and we're going to be one together. And I'll never leave you, and you'll never leave me. I'll be in you, and you'll be in me. But the plea is, and the patience is, but the presence is so powerful. So we're going to end the passage, and we're going to end the Apostles' Creed. And I want to end it with the summer series with Revelation 22. I don't want you to miss what Jesus is saying in Revelation 3. But the last book of the Bible and the last few verses we're going to read. These are the last words that are written. Last words are lasting words. And he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. So there's an invitation, there's a warning. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book. In verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming. I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. So what? After 12 long weeks, and if you don't have copies of the message, I can email you the messages. We've had 12 long, hot days. I think we had 70 days over 90 degrees. I think we're thirsty. I'm thirsty. And we come to the end of, what do we believe? What do we believe about God? What do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe about the Holy Spirit? What do we believe about the church and the communion of saints? What do we believe, truly believe, about the forgiveness of sins? Wow. What do we believe about the resurrection of the body and the life? everlasting. Personally, I'm going to share some so whats to end it. I've had a really hard week the last 2 weeks in ministry. I've sat at the bedside who is ready to experience life everlasting. And she wanted to bless her grandchildren, her three granddaughters and her grandson. And she says, that's the one thing I want to do before I go. She loves Jesus. So we worked that out, and I sat with her, and she got to bless her grandchildren, give a blessing, a legacy to her grandchildren, and she'll probably pass this week. I meet with a man who has been a dear, dear friend of mine. And he's been a colleague, I want to say, in ministry. We've done ministry together. And he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He's a retired surgeon. I meet with him every week, and I've taken him to the hospital for his visits. He's a deep, deep Christian man and loves God with all of his heart. And my heart hurts because I love the man. He's been like a friend to me for a long time. And I walk with him as he walks and prepares, because it's inoperable. But he has this one question. In fact, I met with him again on Friday, and we sat and talked, and he says, you know, Dave, every person I see now, I ask this question. If I believe the way you believe, what will happen when I die? You see, he's dying. His prognosis, his diagnosis is inoperable. So I take him to the doctor, and he asked this. I'm in the hospital room with him, and he asked this surgeon who's, first he asked him, give me your education. Well, I've studied at Mayo, at John Hopkins, I've got this degree, and then he says, well, what's your passion? And then he asked him this question, this surgeon who has just told him, we're not going to operate on you. We're going to get you some palliative care. We're going to get you some hospice. And it's just a matter of time. My friend asked him these questions. And then he says, if I believe the way you believe, what will happen when I die? You know what the man said? I don't know. And he's got all the education in the world. And he says, I don't know. What a great question. If I believe the way you believe, what will happen when I die? Well, I know what I believe. And I walk with people. I walk with a lot of people who are dying. This past week, last past 2 weeks, I've been pastoring. I do a lot of spiritual direction. And I have four pastors that are in trouble. And it's breaking my heart. One pastor is going to retire. One pastor resigned. I think the other pastor is going to stay in the ministry. And I spend time on the phone. I spend time texting them. I spend time praying with them and crying with them. And one has fallen from grace. He made mistakes. And I go, but God can redeem. God can forgive. If I believe the way you believe, what will happen? For 12 weeks, I've asked you what you believe. I've spent 20 years in the tire industry. This is where the rubber meets the road. If I believe the way you believe, what will happen when I die? I know what I believe, and I know where I'm going. My prayer is you know what you believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your great grace. We give thanks that you gave us the Apostles' Creed, that you've loved us with an unfailing love. that you've loved us with outrageous grace, that you've taught us what to believe. Lord, help us be hot. Let us not lose our first love. Let us open the door when we hear your voice, when we hear the knock, and come in and eat with us and live with us and be in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. They're getting ready to sing. Let's say the Apostles' Creed our last time together and stand and affirm what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Amen. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. Amen. Who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Amen. He descended into hell. Amen. The third day he rose again from the dead. Amen. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Amen. The forgiveness of sins. Amen. The resurrection of the body. Amen. And the life everlasting. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord.